following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Many years ago, in the little Mexican town of Hopi, a baby was born. The townspeople had awaited his nativity with much interest since his great-grandfather was Irish, his great-grandmother was black, his grandfather was Mexican, and his grandmother Creole. His father was half Indian and his mother Spanish. The little baby had a very mixed ancestry and consequently a very funny color, a mix of white and gold, caramel and coffee. Not knowing what to call him, his parents finally named him Willie. Shortly after birth, he suffered from polio, and he was left partially paralyzed. Willie learned early that children can be very cruel when they don't understand. At school, they laughed at his crazy color, tweaked his burnt orange hair, and sometimes kicked his gimpy leg. When the children played tug-of-war at the fiesta for the Virgin of the Assumption, his teammates suddenly let go so that Willie was dragged through the slimy pool of mud. Later, in the wheelbarrow race, his partner dumped Willie into a pile of brambles with very sharp thorns. That night, Willie's mother bathed him after she had picked out all the thorns and rubbed his aching body with soothing aloe oil. As he fell asleep, she caressed him tenderly and told him once again, as she had so many times before, about the great El Shaddai and his love for little children and how they flocked to him and never wanted to leave him. As the great day of the Virgin of Guadalupe's fiesta drew near, Willie worked hard to save money from his job feeding Macho, the town donkey. On the night of the fiesta, he limped eagerly into the village square where everyone had gathered for the celebration. His eyes danced when he saw the cotton candy stands, the pretty ladies in their swirling hoop skirts, the prancing horses of the merry-go-round, the men's sequined breros worn but once a year, the colorful clown in the zebra suit dancing like a gazelle. Willie was wandering about, debating whether to spend his meager savings on a tortilla or a tamale, when his eye caught sight of an old wooden wagon. An overhanging sign read, "The Great Medicine Show." As Willie cautiously approached, suddenly his heart rose in his throat. A tall, gaunt, angular man stepped up to the buckboard, extended his arms, and was about to speak. Just then, he looked straight at Willie. His face was weather-beaten, but his eyes, they were sad, but so piercing, and gentle, and kind. Willie's heart told him at once who this man was. "It's El Shaddai," cried Willie. The medicine man smiled. His face glowed like a sunburst, and his eyes danced merrily. "Here, little brother," said the medicine man. He handed Willie a bottle filled with bright orange liquid. "Rub 3 drops on your heart each night, and wonderful things will happen to you." Willie reached into his pocket, prepared to offer all that he had for this bottle. But the medicine man said, "What I have freely received, I must freely give." The medicine man sat down on the buckboard. Willie approached him and asked timidly, "Will the stuff in the bottle make my crooked legs straight, senor, and make my blotches go away?" The medicine man picked him up, sat him on his knee. Willie was scared now. He was afraid that when the medicine man saw his skin up close, he would laugh like all the villagers who had nicknamed him Speckled Trout. Willie was not at all prepared for what happened next. The medicine man drew the boy's head against his own heart. It was so warm and peaceful there that Willie thought of the fireplace in the living room of the little house where he lived. Then he felt drops of rain on his head and looked up to see tears of compassion streaming from the medicine man's eyes. Willie thought at once of his mother, but even with her, he had never been loved like this before. "Little brother, what is your name?" "Willie." The boy's head never moved from the medicine man's heart, and he still clutched the bottle in his hand. "My medicine is so powerful, Willie, that not only will it straighten your leg, but it will straighten all winding paths and all crooked hearts. Every valley of pain shall be filled, and every mountain of pride leveled. And all mankind shall see the salvation of God. He touched Willie's burnt orange hair and kissed him lightly on the forehead. Would you like to share my dinner with me, Willie? In his whole life, no one had ever invited Willie to dinner. In fact, no one except his mother and father had ever asked him to share anything. Feelings that Willie had never known existed welled up in his heart. Everybody else had driven him deeper and deeper into his isolation. But the medicine man wanted to share his meal with him. Willie was beside himself with joy. He pulled all the money out of his pocket. "All by dessert," he fairly shouted. "Lemon ices, cotton candy, and dandelion cookies," because I guess that's a thing. They ate heartily. Willie talked excitedly, and the medicine man listened quietly. Willie spoke of his father and mother, how hard school was, how he wished he had a friend. Then he looked hard into the sad, gentle eyes and grew bold enough to ask, "Would you be my friend, Señor?" "I am your friend," answered the medicine man. Without warning, a cold chill gripped Willie's heart. He had never had a friend. What if he didn't know how to be a friend? The medicine man was so generous and good, so kind and loving. "Surely I will fail him, and then I will lose my only friend," thought Willie. "Oh, Señor," he said through his fear, "please tell me what it means to be a friend. I want so much to learn." "Do not let your heart be troubled, little brother. I will tell you the kind of friend I am, and then you can decide for yourself what kind you would like to be. Willie, if I speak to you with beautiful words that make you feel important but do not love you, I am not your friend. If I share all my knowledge with you so that you understand all the mysteries of the universe but do not love you, I am no friend at all. If I give all my food to feed your family and take care of all your needs, but do not love you, I am not your friend. Little brother, I will always be patient with you. I will always be kind to you. I will never be jealous of your other friends. Even though I am the only son of my father, I will never put on airs with you. I will never be snobbish. I will never be rude to you. I will not befriend you to get what I can. I will not easily be moved to anger with you. I will not brood when you disappoint me. I will not rejoice when you do wrong things, but I will rejoice when you are true to yourself. There is no limit to my forgiveness of your faults, to my trust in you, to my hope in you, to my power to endure all the trial of friendship with you. Willie, listen closely now. I will never fail you. Prophecies will cease, tongues will fall silent, knowledge will pass away, but I will not forget you. I will never cease being your friend. Little brother, perhaps your memory is not so good. If you forget anything, do not forget this. There are three things that last in friendship: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Willie listened attentively. "That is so beautiful, Señor," he said, shaking his head. "But I'm afraid I could never be a friend like that. I am too weak, too ugly, too moody, too dumb. That's why I gave you my special elixir, little brother. Be sure to rub 3 drops in your heart each night. The first drop is called forgiveness, the second is acceptance, and the third is joy. Do that and know that you are blessed." Then he smiled his warmest smile and departed. Willie ran, skipped, jumped, and danced all the way home. When he arrived, he went to his room, closed the door, and knelt beside his bed. He opened the bottle and began to rub the first drop, forgiveness of others, on his heart. It was very painful because the other children had hurt him deeply. But soon a wondrous thing happened. Willie had been so open to the medicine man's friendship that the drops of orange liquid didn't rest on his heart. They actually entered into his heart. What normally took years for the spirit of the medicine man to accomplish in the ordinary heart took place in Willie's open, childlike, transparent heart in an instant. All anxiety about his leg, his blotches, everything vanished, and Willie began to pray aloud. "O Señor, El Shaddai, my friend, do not leave me. You may ask anything of me. All I want is you. Just walk close beside me with your hand in my hand for friendship's sake, and for the joy of being together. Even if you are teasing me about healing my leg and my blotches, I don't care. I'll be so happy to be a speckled trout if only you will stay with me. I remember the one thing you said that mattered most. I love you, my friend. Do anything you want, Señor, only don't ever leave me, and don't ever let me leave you. You see, after the spirit of the medicine man had entered Willie's heart, it coursed through his whole being and opened his eyes to realize how empty life would be without his friend. That thought so staggered his mind and appalled his heart that Willie would never again be the same. But it also opened his eyes to see that in the depths of his heart, he really had but one burning desire. Not for the things that the medicine man had promised, but for the medicine man himself. What a story. And what a story because we know that it's true. This is a parable from a book by Brennan Manning called The Importance of Being Foolish. And for me, it was a picture that allows me to remember who Jesus is. As we're continuing in our 10 Healthy Missional Markers series, we're looking this week specifically at a life-transforming walk with Jesus. And every time that we talk about a life-transforming walk with Jesus, it's imperative that we remind ourselves who Jesus is and why Jesus came for us. I struggled a little bit in my preparation with taking up that huge chunk of time with that story. But I can't think of a better way to emphasize the importance and the value and the transformation that occurs with a life in Jesus than with that story. It's an acknowledgement of who Jesus is, who we are walking with, and who it is that calls us to follow him. We're going to look at one section of Scripture, and we'll talk a bit about what a life-transforming walk with Jesus means. So just as a reminder, we're spending kind of these first several weeks of 2015 identifying and then digging into 10 markers of a healthy missional church and a healthy missional individual. They're a way for us to gauge ourselves, to gauge the way that we're living out some of the foundational pieces of the Christian faith. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's a full list. It helps us to look at the width and the breadth of a healthy missional life and ministry. And we'll continue to work our way through these markers. They're on bookmarks on the chairs either that you're sitting in or the one next to you that were supposed to be there last week, but I forgot, even though I was here like super early. It was one of those, like I was telling someone afterwards, Brian, that I got up here and I was just about to say, and you can look at your bookmark on your chair. And I looked at all the chairs, and I thought, no. You can look at the bookmark in the thing on the Welcome Center. But now that here they are on the chairs, so you have them. One week late, my apologies. So we'll continue to work our way through these markers. And throughout this series, I'd really encourage you to take notes, either on Sunday, but really throughout the week, as you're reflecting on how we as a church are living into these markers, where do we need to change and grow and work towards following Jesus and becoming healthy and more missional? And then where do you need to grow? What do these things speak to you? Where are the opportunities for you to become healthier and more missional and grow in your relationship with Christ? Last week, you'll remember, we set as our foundation the centrality of the Word of God, because Scripture has to be central to everything we're doing. It's holy, it's powerful, it's mysterious, it's God-breathed, it is active, and it engages us. And so throughout this whole series, we'll be looking at Scripture and how Scripture speaks to these markers. And so today, we're going to look at Philippians 3, and we'll be in verses 3 through 11. So if you don't have a Bible and would like one, I bet Gord would get you one if you raise your hand. Otherwise, let's read together from Philippians 3. Or I'll read for us. I'm not going to. Sorry. I thank God every time I remember you in all of my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. A life-transforming walk with Jesus. This one passage has a lot to say about a life-transforming walk with Jesus. And the beauty of this particular marker is that there are tons of scripture passages. We heard two others read for us today. And they back up and they give insight to and they shine a light on what it looks like to have a life-transforming walk with Jesus. I mean, really, last spring, we spent several weeks on this idea in our Following Jesus series. We looked at the real, practical, everyday ways that Jesus speaks to us, the ways every day that Jesus calls us to follow him, the ways every day that we can be and need to be working on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't worry, I'm not going to rehash that whole series, partly because we'd be here into tomorrow, most likely. But it is available. You can find it on our website, or you can contact Mary, and she'd be able to get you a copy of it. But I do want to highlight today's five points that we have to remember as we as individuals work on our own walks with Jesus, and we as a church help folks in a life-transforming walk with Jesus. The first thing, a life-transforming walk with Jesus is present in our whole life, right? It is our church life, it is our home life, our work life, our school life, life with friends, life with family, in our hobbies, on vacation, playing sports, etc., etc., etc. A real, authentic, transformative walk with Jesus needs to be experienced in every part of our lives and then needs to be evident in every part of our lives. If it's actually life-transforming, that means our whole life. That good work that began in us by Christ himself carries on into everything. Everything. And the second thing is that it is ongoing. It doesn't stop at a certain age. A life-transforming walk with Jesus doesn't come to a culmination with X number of times reading through the Bible or verses memorized or X number of people introduced to Jesus. There's no Jesus points that we gather up and then trade them in for a token that allows us to finish growing and transforming in our walk with Jesus. It continues from our new birth in Jesus all the way until we meet him in heaven. It is ongoing. We are constantly being led, molded, challenged, and encouraged by him. A life-transforming walk with Jesus is active. Like we talked about last week, the Bible requires us to be active, to actively live out what we read there. Similarly, a life-transforming walk with Jesus is an active thing. There's nothing passive about these words. life-transforming walk with Jesus. It is not life-transforming sit back on the couch with pride in all of the things that we know about Jesus. It's walking with Jesus, living out what it is Jesus calls us to every day in our whole life. Jesus calls us, just as he called his disciples and all he encountered, to an actively lived life. A life-transforming walk with Jesus is listening, and it is discerning. That was one of the biggest pieces that we spent time on last spring, the necessity of listening and discerning what it is that Jesus is trying to say to each and every one of us, each and every day. And both of these parts are vital, right? We have to be actively listening, actively setting aside time and space to listen to what Jesus is saying to us. If we're walking with Jesus, that walk isn't in silence. Jesus talks with us as we're walking with him. Otherwise, that gets to be a very boring walk for both of us. Jesus wants to be telling us stuff, and we have to make the space and the time to listen. We have to be reflecting on those things that Jesus is putting on our minds and on our hearts, and looking for those opportunities to serve that Jesus is pointing out to us. We have to be listening. But we have to be listening with discernment. I recently just finished reading C.S. Lewis's classic, The Screwtape Letters. If you don't know the premise, it's a series of letters written from an elder demon to a younger demon, guiding him in the ways of deception, how he can go about deceiving a specific man that he's been assigned to. It's brilliant, it's fascinating, and it's terrifying. It's a fictional book, but anyone who has ever felt pulled in different directions, feeling like they know what Jesus is telling them, but something hindering them, knows that there's truth in what C.S. Lewis is writing. There are forces that are trying to get us, to keep us from doing what Jesus wants. And that's where the discerning portion of this comes in. Can't be listening and taking in everything. We have to be listening and discerning and then moving from there. And so we discern through the reading of God's word. We discern through honest and heartfelt prayer. And we discern in relationship with people that we know and trust and who know us. And finally, working on that, a life transforming walk with Jesus is not done alone. The discerning is not done alone. It's done in community. It means spending time with other Christians, learning from one another, helping one another, listening to what Jesus says, helping to discern what Jesus is calling each of us to. And that's one of the most important pieces of our Bible studies, our prayer groups, our journey groups, our small groups, and they can be wonderful places for this. The danger with those kinds of things being the only type of Christian community or fellowship is when there isn't the space to do the work of hearing what God is saying through Scripture and prayer to us as individuals and as a congregation in a specific time and place. There's the risk of being too broad, or too wide, or too high, or too safe about the things that we are comfortable knowing from Jesus. But as we spend the time and do the work of discerning together, having people who can be honest with us, we can follow Jesus more closely. And we'll spend more and more time on this as we look at the marker on compelling Christian community. It's on the backside. But just remember and know that a life-transforming walk with Jesus is communal. It is not done alone. If you need help finding people or a group to help you listen, to help you discern, to help you read, to help keep you accountable in your reading or your discerning or your prayer, please, please, please talk to me. that has absolutely been one of the most important things in my life, and I know it is one of the most important things for each of you, to find those people that you can talk to, that you can pray with, that can be praying for you and helping you understand what Jesus is calling you to. Please, please talk to me about that. It is vital to a healthy and full, life-giving relationship with Jesus. Thinking back about our story of Willie, the man, El Shaddai, that Willie gets to know is Jesus, the Son of the living God, Emmanuel, God with us. He promises love, and he promises the words from 1 Corinthians, right? And he promises friendship and a companion that we get to walk with. The promise is that we will not remain the same, that Jesus has so much more in store for us as we are constantly being transformed through our walk with him, from the moment of our new birth in Christ to the moment we meet him in heaven. I'm going to close us in prayer with the same words that Willie prayed in our story. Jesus, my friend, do not leave me. You may ask anything of us. All we want is you. Just walk close beside us with your hand in our hands for friendship's sake and for the joy of being together. Even if you are teasing us about healing our legs and our blotches, we don't care. We'll be so happy to be a speckled trout if only you will stay with us. We remember the one thing you said that mattered most. I love you, my friend. Do anything you want, O Lord. Only don't ever leave us, and don't ever let us leave you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.